The title of this conference is The General Gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, we are told that in a special way, the Messiah, the Christ, will receive certain gifts. And we believe that likewise, we who are Christians have a right to each of these general gifts of the Holy Spirit. In addition to the general gifts, there are what are called the charismatic gifts, the special gifts of the Holy Spirit, which will be treated in the third conference. Let me now read to you from Isaiah this description of the general gifts of the Holy Spirit and the results of these gifts. A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of fortitude, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearances shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. He will judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf will be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid goat. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, and a little child shall guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm, no ruin, in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. In this reading from Isaiah, we are given six gifts. There is a repetition of the gift of fear of the Lord. In the Vulgate Latin edition of the Bible, which St. Jerome translated in the 4th century, instead of repeating fear of the Lord, he gives a seventh gift, namely that of piety. And so, traditionally, down through the centuries, we have spoken of these seven general gifts of the Holy Spirit. I would like to talk about them in this conference. We should realize that every one of us, as a follower of Jesus, has a right to these gifts and can expect to receive each of these gifts in the course of our life. The beautiful description in Isaiah of the different animals that ordinarily would be enemies of one another, they shall all be at peace, is a description of our life when we allow these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit to be at work in our life. They are available to all of us. Our devotion to the Holy Spirit should result in an increase in each of these gifts. And so one of the very best ways to understand the Holy Spirit and to appreciate the value of having a deep intimacy and devotion to the Holy Spirit is to reflect upon these seven general gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then to open ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit along with these gifts. There is a certain balance in these gifts, and as far as the six of them are concerned. There is a balance between fear of the Lord and piety. There is a balance between counsel and fortitude. There is a balance between understanding and knowledge. And then, like a tent over all the other gifts, we have the highest of all gifts, the gift of wisdom. I would like to take each of these gifts now and to describe their meaning and to show how we need to balance them one with another. The first of these gifts is that of fear of the Lord. We know that the Old Testament says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Today, this word fear has a rather negative connotation. We think of this as a cringing fear. And so, perhaps a better word to be used today for this particular gift of the Holy Spirit is reverence and respect for God. So fear the Lord is a way of expressing humility, expressing our realization of the transcendence of God. By this particular gift from the Holy Spirit, we're able to appreciate the greatness of God, that God is infinitely greater and higher than we are, that there is an infinite distance between the Creator and the creature. We must never forget this. We must never take God for granted. This is to be guilty of the gift of presumption, that we just think that God will take care of everything. We must never forget who we are as creatures, that apart from God we are nothing, that it was out of nothingness that God created us. And if God should forget about us for even one split second, we would immediately collapse back into the nothingness from which we came. Whereas God is infinite in power, infinite in greatness, infinite in love, infinite in nature. And all, this realization of this vast distance between us as a creature and God as the Creator is a result of receiving this, first of all, general gifts, the gift of fear of the Lord. And so we should pray for this gift. We should ask God to give it to us, ask the Holy Spirit to give us this gift and to be open to receive this gift. Now, to have this gift without the gift of piety would result in an unbalanced life. We would just be filled with fear, and there would be no love of God in our hearts. And so the Holy Spirit gives us a second gift to balance fear of the Lord, namely piety. Piety, in a certain sense, is the exact opposite of fear of the Lord. It helps us to realize our closeness to God, whereas fear of the Lord emphasizes the vast distance between us and God. God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. We speak of this as the immanence of God, immanence. So this gift of piety represents this close intimacy between God and ourselves, whereas fear of the Lord emphasizes the great distance. Both are true. And we need to balance one with the other. The gift of piety helps us to have a tremendous trust and confidence in God, that we are no longer afraid of God. This is the gift that helps us develop a great love of God. But at the same time, if we just had piety without fear of the Lord, we would begin to take God too much for granted. We would be guilty of presumption again. And so we need to balance piety and fear of the Lord. Piety, therefore, is the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to develop a deep, tremendous confidence and trust in God. Whereas fear of the Lord is that gift that enables us to develop humility, a recognition of our total dependence on God. We go now to the second pair of these general gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that would be between counsel and fortitude. We need both of these. One without the other would result in a very lopsided life. The gift of counsel enables us to know what to say and to do on any given occasion. The gift of fortitude gives us the strength, the courage, the grace to carry out what our mind, our heart tells us is the right thing to do. So counsel is that special gift that is described in the Gospel of John as the Paraclete, the gift of truth, who is always at our side as our advocate, as our counselor, as our spiritual guide, to help us to know what to say and what to do. This particular gift also enables us to know when to keep quiet and when to speak. Another aspect of this gift is that it enables us always to tell the truth without betraying a confidence. If we've been given some knowledge in confidence, and we're asked about it by some third person, this gift of counsel enables us to answer that question truthfully and at the same time not to betray the confidence. Another aspect of the gift of counsel is that of prophecy. This particular aspect of counsel is the ability to read the signs of the times and to be able to discern what is the right thing for other people. Prophecy is given us for the sake of others. It helps us to be a spiritual guide and counselor to others. It enables us, again, to know what to say and what not to say in regards to prophecy, in regards to helping other people to know God's will. We make the mistake very often of identifying prophecy with the ability to foretell the future. Foretelling the future is not an essential part of prophecy at all. It was very often given to the prophets in order for the people to be convinced that the word of the prophet was from God. And by foretelling something of the future when it actually happens, then people will have more confidence in the prophet. The prophecy as such has to do primarily with the present, helping other people to know what to say and what to do, what not to say, what not to do. And therefore, is just an extension of this gift of counsel in reference to what we should do ourselves. Fortitude balances counsel. We might be able to know the right thing to say or the right thing to do, but we are cowards. We lack the strength and courage to carry it out. So we need to pray not only for counsel, but also for fortitude. Both of these are gifts. Both of these are available to us. All we need to do is to be open to them and to ask the Holy Spirit to give us each of these gifts. And when we realize how important, how necessary both of these gifts are, then in a very real sense, we'll leave God no peace. We leave the Holy Spirit no peace until we receive these particular gifts. Later on, in one of the other conferences, I'm going to talk especially about discernment, which is the particular way that the gift of counsel exercises itself in our life. And so I will talk at more length when we get to that conference. We go now to the third pair of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, namely knowledge and understanding. At first sight, these two words seem to be synonyms, but they are entirely different. Now, it is true that different authors, different writers on the gifts of the Holy Spirit will describe these different gifts somewhat differently from the way I'm describing them. I'm following primarily St. Thomas Aquinas, his description of these gifts in the Summa Theologica, and there you can find other authors, other mystics, who have had other insights into these gifts. The gift of knowledge has to do with this world, whereas the gift of understanding has to do with God's world. Let me explain the gift of understanding first and then come back to knowledge. Understanding is that particular gift that enables us to penetrate into the all the secrets of God's life, all the mysteries of God. And therefore, this is a particular gift that is especially needed by anyone who has to be engaged in religious education. That would include the priest in the Sunday homily, as well as the teachers of religion in our schools. It enables us to realize that these mysteries of God, like the Trinity, the Incarnation, the whole mystery of grace, the mystery of faith, the whole mystery of the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, these mysteries are not like a brick wall that you just come up against and cannot go any farther. We should rather think of the mysteries of God as bottomless wells. They partake of the infinity, the unlimited nature of God. The sacred scriptures and the church and tradition have been able to penetrate into these mysteries. They're able to, might say, to go down into this bottomless well and to bring up into consciousness various insights regarding each of these mysteries. But we must never think that that is all there is to these mysteries. There is an unlimited source of truth in each mystery. And the purpose of this particular gift of understanding from the Holy Spirit is to enable each of us, not only the Pope and the Magisterium of the bishops or the theologians, but all of us, the whole community of God, to penetrate deeper and deeper into these sacred mysteries. The Church has a way of recognizing people who have been given this special gift of understanding by calling them doctors of the Church. A doctor is someone who is a teacher of the mysteries that they're fully approved by the Church, that we can respect them. And so, for example, just a couple of years ago, the present Pope, John Paul II, made Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, a doctor of the Church because of her particular insights into the mercy of God and the love of God. A particular insights into what she calls the little way of spiritual childhood. That these were new insights that nobody had to that depth previously. And was given to Saint Therese to be able to understand much better than anyone else ever had in the past these particular mysteries of God's grace and God's truth. And so she is now a doctor of the Church, along with St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, and many, many others. So understanding that has to do with God, with the truths of God's nature, with the mysteries of our faith, helping us to penetrate deeper and deeper, to have a greater and greater understanding. We should pray for this gift every time before we read the Bible, so that the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to penetrate beyond the words of the Scripture to get to the deeper knowledge of God. The gift of knowledge has to do with this world. It helps us to see the hand of God at work in all the events of our life. This is the particular gift that enables us to understand God's providence, divine providence, as we call it. That God is providing, which means looking ahead and for all of our needs, that the hand of God is at present in all the events of our life. The particular scripture text that describes this gift of knowledge is Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together for good. This particular gift helps us to see how God is able to bring good out of everything, even out of our sins. St. Augustine spoke of this, that is described in the Exulta hymn that is sung on Easter Vigil. O felix culpa, O blessed fault that brought us salvation from God. In other words, that God is able to, even out of evil, exulta. We are not able to do that by ourselves. If God alone is able to do that. But for those who love God, if we try to love God as best we can, then all things work together for good. And the gift of knowledge enables us to see the hand of God at work in all the events of our life and all the events of history. That God never abandons us. That our God is not the deist God, the clockmaker God who creates us and then leaves us entirely on our own. That our God is with us every moment of our life and is there bringing good to us on every event, provided we try to love God. Sometimes this gift of knowledge is one that we have to wait a while before we see how it is working. I very often say that we need to give God 10 years lead time in order to recognize the hand of God in working our life. And so knowledge and understanding are both necessary. We need to have the understanding of these supernatural divine truths of God's nature. We need to have the gift of knowledge to enable us to trust God and to see the hand of God at work in our life. We finally come to the seventh gift, the gift of wisdom, the highest of all the gifts, the gift that we will particularly experience after death in heaven, which is called the beatific vision, the blessed sight of this infinite God. This is the gift of truth that is like an umbrella over all the other gifts to protect them. This particular gift is really the gift of the Holy Spirit himself or herself. In the Old Testament, this gift of wisdom was always in the feminine gender. The same is true in Greek, Sophia. But when we get to Latin, then it's we get into what we have sapientia, which again is feminine. So you might say this particular gift of wisdom enables us to see the feminine side of God's nature. It is actually the Holy Spirit herself that comes to us with this particular gift. It includes all the other gifts. It is there to protect us. It gives us the same insight, the same vision that God has, the beatific vision, as we call it. It is a gift that very often we have to wait until after we die before we receive this gift fully. However, it is always there, and we need to ask for it. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are always available to us, but they need to be asked from the Holy Spirit. We can think of these gifts as having a short shelf life in the sense that we need to go back every day to ask for a fresh supply of each of these gifts. We need them all in order to have a balanced life. Well, they're called gifts to emphasize that they are freely given by God, that we do not need to earn them. They are pure, free gifts. We need only to ask for them. And there will be times when we especially need one or the other of these general gifts. But we should give God no peace until we receive the needed gift. This keeps us humble and mindful of our total dependence on God. All of us have these gifts available to us, and we should study them, recognize their value, and in that way we will be all the more desirous for them, and will persist in begging God every day for each of these gifts. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, there is a particular prayer that the writer of this epistle gives us and expresses our desire for these seven gifts. I kneel before the Father, from whom every father in heaven and on earth is named, and pray that he may grant us, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in our inner self, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that rooted and grounded in love, we may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of Christ's love, and to experience that love which surpasses all knowledge, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God himself. To him who is able to accomplish far greater than we can ask for or even imagine, by the power of his work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the end of the second continent.